Well, hello again.
Another breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Just breathe. Just breathe.
Yeah.
Just breathe.
We can breathe, can't
That's
we?
Right.
This is great. Well, this is Steve Vaughn.
And Bill Jack.
And welcome to Generations Radio once again. Kevin's still off gallivanting around in Africa. His son, Daniel, actually went out early. Did you hear about that?
No, I did not.
He went out and ran a marathon. His goal is to run a marathon on every continent. I'm not sure if Antarctica has a marathon or not.
If I were on Antarctica, I'd be running.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
keep yourself warm.
That's right.
But he ran a marathon in Africa, and then he's helping his dad with some mission stuff out there, and then he'll be back. He lives with us right now. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so my son moved out. Dan moved in, so we still have eight people in our home that we're trying to feed, and so it's been great having him here, and it's kind of fun when I go to Kevin's, and he goes, "So, anything new with my son?" And I know more about his son now than he does.
Than he does.
Talk to Brenda, and she wants to know how he's doing and all of that. And so we're feeding him, and they say, "Well, is he at least taking out the trash? Is he helping with dishes?" I said, "Yeah, he does that all the time." I said, "Well, he never did that at home."
That's right.
So, but it's been great having him here, and it's great having you here.
It's good to be here, and we wish Kevin the best, and we are just delighted to be doing this together again.
Yeah.
Together again.
That's right. don't do that again.
No, I don't think so.
But, yeah, it's always great to have you over here, and we both get to talk more. We're about 50-50 on this one. But today we're going to talk a little bit about our ability to communicate. It's something that God gave us. That's part of the image of God, is that he gave us the ability to communicate with each other. And in fact, nothing happened until God said something. He if everything happened just because he thought about it, there'd be a lot more things going on, because God holds all things in his thoughts at all times. But
right.
It wasn't until he spoke that the world came into existence, that the universe came into existence, and he gave us the power to speak and to communicate. And not just like, parrots and things that can mimic. And it's not like apes who can mimic sign language. They're not communicating. They're mimicking something in order to get a treat. We actually can communicate, and we can come up with new thoughts and new ideas, and we can learn to think critically and to foresee things that can happen based upon the choices that we make. And so we communicate.
And language itself is fascinating, because language puzzles the evolutionist. If evolution is true, there should only be one language at best. But we have multiple languages in this world, and we have different ways of communicating, which reflects the nature of our creator. We are creative people. We
yes,
take
we
our
are.
Thoughts and we put them into language. That is really fascinating when you think about it.
Yeah, and we can conceive of things that don't yet exist. Now, we have to use the matter that God created, but we can conceive of things that don't exist, and we can make things just like our creator made things.
Yeah.
It's great. And I love communication. You love to speak, and you speak well. I love coming to see you talk. Well, I mean, you gave a commencement speech, and I thought, you're awfully serious during that time. I've never seen you speak so seriously before. I've normally seen you at the Czech conference and doing the inserting yourself into these videos that I thought was just hilarious. So you communicate well. I love to communicate, and I love to teach communication as well. And one of the things I've been doing for the past, I think 11 years now, is coaching a speech and debate club that this year ended up meeting in my house because I had no other place to go. And I had somewhere around 30 students, and we're coming close to the end of our season. The end of this month of May, we're going to be heading to Point Loma Nazarene Bible College in San Diego, California.
It's for a beautiful campus.
Yes, for our final National Invitational Tournament of Champions. And so we're preparing for that. But the beauty of communication is being able to communicate with people all over. And when we come back, we're going to talk about one of the things I've been involved in with the last year. My daughter is in an international debate club that goes to the secular aspect of the world to try to develop relationships with other people, not to win the debates, but to help to influence hearts.
That is cool. Look forward to hearing that right here on Generations of Radio.
Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abortifacient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about 1/3 of what the average family pays under Obamacare, and Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at 1/3 the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org.
Welcome back to Generations Radio. So, Steve, you said that your daughter is involved in an international debate club.
Yes.
And how does that work? What does that look like? And you said she's had contact, and others have had contact with people from all over the world.
Yeah, there's a secular program, actually, part of the what's called the NSDA now. It used to be called the NFL, National Forensics League. It's now called the National Speech and Debate Association, which is the public school arm of speech and debate. And they have a section of that called World Schools Debate. Now, typically, it's only public school that does this, but there was a couple of ladies, Sherry and Mary Russell, whose husband was the president, or Sherry's husband, Mary is the daughter. Sherry's husband was the president of STOA, which is one of the homeschool speech and debate organizations in the United States. They saw an opportunity here to infiltrate, maybe, or to get involved in World School. It's a totally different style of debate that I can't really get into. But their purpose wasn't necessarily to go out and try to win debate rounds, but in order to influence the hearts of people throughout the world.
So they saw it as an untapped mission field.
Exactly. Almost a clandestine mission field where we would go and we have 12 students that are involved, and these are students from both the NCFCA and STOA that are some of the top debaters and top speakers, but also some of the more mature in Christ young people that are 18 and under that can go and actually communicate the gospel to people. Now, when we go, the other countries, there might be, you know, 12 to 20 different countries in one tournament. We've been to Olomouc, Czech Republic, which is just outside of Prague, and I've been to Stuttgart, and some of the students went to Slovenia. And then my daughter went to Houston, which is not quite, it is almost a different
country. It's a foreign
country. Yeah, it is a foreign
Texas
country.
Texas is a foreign land, yeah.
But when we were out there, that what's nice is that the official language of World School is English. And so everybody speaks in English, and I got to judge a number of rounds while I was out there. But I also got to come in contact with students from all over the world. So did all of our other students who were there. And one of the biggest starters of conversation is when they come and say, hey, what school are you from? Because everybody's from a school. And when
so
our
did
kids,
you guys make up a name for your school like
no,
a lot of homeschoolers do? You
not
know?
At all. They just said, we're from all over. We're homeschooled. And they look at us and go, how does that work?
Really?
But we also found another interesting aspect of that. In countries that are a little bit more closed, such as China, we've debated teams from China, but there was a coach that came up to me and in the morning, one morning after I judged his team, and he sat down and said, so, you homeschool? And I said, yeah.
And he said it just like that.
Yeah.
So you homeschool, do you?
Yeah, so you homeschool. And then he said, so why do you do this? Is this some religious thing, or do you think that you can just do this better than the government? And I said,
yes.
Exactly. And for the next hour and a half, he grilled me on why I do this. And over and over again, he would say, so you're radical. You're radical. And then he told me something I'd never heard before. He said that in countries like China and other countries where the media is controlled by the government, the only media that they get comes from major news networks and CNN. And guess what they hear? The only time that they hear about a homeschooler
is when and if a homeschooler makes national headlines for doing something just absurd or becoming a mass murderer or becoming an off-the-grid kind of person.
Exactly.
And they're painted that way.
Exactly. And he told me that their view of homeschooling in the United States, Christian homeschoolers, are a bunch of religious fanatics that own guns and are ready to shoot somebody just for them disagreeing with you. And he said when his students found out that there were a bunch of Christian homeschoolers at this tournament, they got nervous. And he wanted to come and talk to me to make sure that they were all safe. And it was very interesting. And then he started to change his tune a little bit. He, after calling me a radical about 7 times, you know, because he asked me, you know, do you own guns? And I said, yes. He said, well, then you're a radical. And so, okay, if that's what it means to be a radical, yeah. But he kept going on, and then at the end he said, but you all are so reasonable. And so it was confusing for them all. He said, you people who are here, you homeschoolers who are here, are different than anything we had ever conceived. He said, you come up to our teams after the debate, and you don't just say, good debate, and walk out. You tell our teams, you did a good job. This argument here was a really good argument. You spoke really well here. And not only that, you come to the coaches and you say, nice job, coach. You did a really good job. Said, nobody does that. Nobody from any of the World School debate, no other team does that. And he said, you're the only team that does that. You're the only team that parents come to watch their kids. He said, why are you here? And I said, my daughter's here. I'm here to help judge, but I'd love to see her debate out here. And he said, nobody does that. He said, you guys are different. And then he said, I know the people. There's two invitation-only tournaments that are, one's in Singapore and one in Bangkok. He said, I know who gives the invitations. You say the word, I'll get you an invitation to these two places.
Wow.
And there was another gentleman named Herman who is from Hong Kong, and he coaches the British team. And he had the same idea. And he saw our 12 kids, and he said, these are 12 of the most intelligent kids I've ever seen. And then I said, hey, you know, if you want to see more of them, come on out. I have a tournament that I host in January. Come if you happen to be in the United States in January, come judge at our tournament. And you know he came.
Seriously.
And he said after he showed up, he said one of the reasons he came was to see if we didn't cherry pick these 12 students that he saw, but that he would be able to see 150 students that were all the same. And when he left, he was going, I think I could homeschool my kids after this.
Wow.
And he's not even married yet. So he said, when I get married and I have kids, I think I want to homeschool my kids.
So what you've got is an ambassador program.
It really is.
You know, it's you're ambassadors for Christ, but you're also ambassadors for the idea of home education and ambassadors for families as God envisioned and instituted them. You know, that parents teach their students at home.
Yeah.
And you train them up to be godly stewards.
And I had in Olamotes, they're one of the tournament staff. We're still yet to do this, but his name's Jakob. And before I left, he was saying, I want to learn homeschooling. And so we're trying to set up a Skype conversation. There's 7 hours difference, and so that makes it a little bit more difficult. And we tried to do it while he was on a train, but he didn't have good enough internet access. But he wants to learn how to homeschool, because when he gets married and has kids, he would like to homeschool his kids. Mm. I had a young lady from Bulgaria who came up to me after the going away party evening. And she said, can you lead me in a direction to homeschool my kids when I have kids? And interestingly enough, HSLDA has helped set up a program for homeschooling in Bulgaria, the Bulgarian Homeschool Association. There are 300 families that are involved. And so I sent her information on that. I have a little guy in Nigeria that about every other week will just message me on, you know, through Facebook Messenger, saying, hello, sir. And we'll just start a conversation for a while. And he's 7 or 8 hours difference in my time. And so it's usually the evening for him, and it's morning for me. And it's been really a neat thing to do, that we can start to influence people. In the time that we've had 3 international tournaments since I've been involved. And my daughter's been to 2 of those. We've touched people from somewhere around 40 to 45 different countries in just those periods of time. And one of the things that the coaches, Mary and Sherry, will do is every now and then send us a message saying, are you keeping track? Are you keeping up to date? Are you continuing the conversation with these students? And the students are saying, yes, we are. One of the times in the Czech Republic at Olomouc, one of our teams sat down, I think it was a team from Hungary, that were really interested in what we believed, and for 45 minutes sat and listened to the gospel being preached to them by one of our teams. They consisted of people from California and Colorado. When I was in Stuttgart, some guys from Denmark, I was able to talk to them, and I used some of your techniques to ask them some of the questions. And so let's establish a foundation. Do you believe in absolute truth? And oddly enough, they said yes.
Wow.
Which I was able to actually use against them later when they were trying to get a little weaselly. And I said, now, wait a minute. You said you believe in absolute truth. And they said, well, maybe we don't believe in absolute truth. And I said, do you believe that absolutely?
Yes.
And being debaters, they understood exactly what I was saying. Oh, you got me. And so we're continuing that conversation. And it's just and with some of the coaches and trying to continue the conversation with them, like with Herman, he's going to be one of the lead judges at the Heart of Europe tournament in Olomouc again this year, and if I can, I'd love to make it back out there and see him and some of the other students again that I saw before.
That is amazing. You know what that is? That's we are to be prepared to give a defense of our faith in gentleness and reverence. So you're debating. But you're not just debating. You're giving a defense of our faith. And, you know, there's the old statement, you know, you don't argue anybody into the kingdom.
Right.
I've had to rethink that recently. Because when we are to give a defense of our faith, we are debating. We are arm wrestling issues. We're to argue against and destroy arguments that are raised up against the knowledge of God.
Yeah, and if you can...
2 Corinthians 10:5.
If you can go against their foundation and you can destroy what they consider to be real in reality, then they're going to turn to you and ask you the same questions you ask them. Well,
right.
What do you believe in? And why do you believe that?
And how do you know it's true?
And so you need to be ready to give an answer. And that's one of the things that in my speech and debate club just here in the United States is that that's one of the things we teach is how to be ready to give an answer and to do so with gentleness and with respect. One of the things my daughter, Abby, who's been in this now for a year and has got accepted to the team again, so she'll be doing this for another year. She was saying, you know, here in the United States, under STOA and under the NCFCA, which are both Christian homeschooling organizations, she said, we can debate and we can have a really good debate, but really in the end, I know that we all agree on the essentials. That this is just another fellow Christian who was trying to throw things at me to try to win a debate round.
Iron sharpening iron.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we teach. And I say, you know, we're like knights, and that we're sparring with each other.
Yeah,
because,
you're jousting.
Yeah, we're jousting because there's the real enemy that's out there, and we're building each other up. But when you go to a world school debate, she said, nobody agrees with what you agree with. And there was one round in the heart of Europe that I was getting ready to go in to judge this round, and my daughter and one of the other of the there's three on a team in World School. One of the other guys named Jeffrey came up to me and said, "Just wanted to let you know, we're going to lose this round." And I said, "Why?" And they showed me the resolution that they were going to be arguing, which is this house believes, and they were on the government or the opposite or the proposition side, the affirmative side. This house regrets that feminism has destroyed traditional family values. And they said, we're going to be talking about abortion. We're going to be talking about all, you know, homosexuality and things like that, which everybody over there agrees with. And said, we're going to lose this round, but everybody in that room is going to have to listen to the truth for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And they lost that round. But it started some conversation. And God granted that team actually to get third in the overall tournament. In fact, God gave us first, second, third, and fifth at that tournament.
Wow.
And people kind of stood up and took notice and said, wow, maybe there is something to these guys. And they're wanting us to come back. And it's going to be, it'll be a really neat time again for them to go back and maybe see some of the same people again and to strengthen that relationship so that they can give them a little bit more of the truth. And hopefully, ultimately, God will save them through this.
And what you've done, what you've just demonstrated, is the command that Jesus gave to his disciples. And that is, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And using speech and debate as the method, as the tool, you have reached not only this country, but you have reached into the corners of the world.
Yeah.
That is so cool. And we need to take heart and take a lesson from that, to take what is common and turn it into opportunities to pulpits. So we can proclaim truth and grace.
Yeah. If you want to know more information on this, the team's called American Logos. American Logos. And they have a Facebook page. We are looking for, and I'll shamelessly say this is expensive. And last year I paid for myself and my daughter to go, and pretty much all of the parents did. Paid for the trip, for the tournament fees and things like that. One of the things that we are looking for is Christian corporate sponsorship that can help us to get to the different tournaments a little bit more, to maybe go to more tournaments, have a few more students in this so we can get to even more places.
And they can contact you?
And yeah, they can contact me if they want to. You can contact me at Stephen@HISColorado.com, Stephen@HisColorado.com, or contact American Logos. You can go onto their Facebook page, American Logos, on Facebook.
This has been Bill Jack.
And Steve Vaughn.
Here at Generations Radio.